Yeah, I'm talking about Psalm 63 this morning. And, you know, it starts right at the very beginning. Oh, don't want to lose my notes. That's not good. Starts right at the very beginning, talking about this really dry and weary, horrible sounding place. And I think for me, one of the times where I've been feeling dry, one of those times for me was when I first moved to London about 5 years ago to do a master's degree. And I was really, really busy. So I was working in Gap to try and pay for my studies and studying. And then, so I'd get up, go to work at Gap, then go to uni, and then come home and go out tutoring in the evening, and then come home again. And I basically just burnt myself out. So I was really, really tired and didn't have time for kind of any of my friends, really, any of my family. Didn't really get to see anyone because I was just rushing about all over the place trying to sustain this life that I decided I wanted to do. And I think at that time, I started to feel really dry and really far away from God. Even though I knew God was there, I just felt like, God, where are you and what's going on? Because I just felt really far because I hadn't made any time to spend with him or anyone anywhere else. And I knew that I should be thirsting for him and be hungry for him, but reality was I wasn't hungry or thirsty for him because I was just too busy and too tired and burnt out to do anything about it. I think we all experience times in life when we're feeling kind of dry or far away from God. There's so many things that can dry us out in our lives. So finances, relationships, health, time, busyness, sorrow. There's so many things that can make us feel so far from God and ask, God, where are you? What's going on? And I think as Christians, we know that God wants us to search it for him and he wants to satisfy us. He wants to fill us and be with us and for us to know that he's there. But sometimes we really long for him and we really want to search God out and we really want to know him and be with him. But at other times, we try and fill our dry places with so many other things. So we go and spend loads of money, or we go and spend lots of time with family and spend lots of time with friends, or go and listen to some music. None of these things are wrong, but we know that the only thing that fills us when we're dry and the only thing that can satisfy us is God. It's like, you know, when we're thirsty, we know we want water. We know all we need is water. We want, and, you know, when we're thirsty and dry, all we need is God and all we want is God. But sometimes when you're really thirsty, like this week on Saturday, we went out and I was really thirsty. But instead of ordering water, which would have quenched my thirst, I got a chocolate milkshake, which really, at the time, I was like, yeah, this is all right. And then afterwards, I'm like, do you know what? I'm still really thirsty. It's completely pointless. But, you know, sometimes this other stuff can appeal more to us than God does, and it can appeal to us. I think in the scripture, in the Psalm 63 that we read earlier, David encountered this problem when he wrote it. He was the king of Israel at the time that he wrote it. And at the time he wrote it, he was forced out of his kingdom by his own son. So Absalom, his son. The story is in 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 17. So his own son kind of takes over his kingdom, forces him out of his kingship into the desert in Judea, and kind of forces him to run for his life into the wilderness. So when he's writing this dry and weary land, he is literally in the middle of the desert, in the wilderness, betrayed by his son and running for his life. So that is, I mean, if anyone can describe a dry and weary place, that's one right there. But David's response to it, it's quite amazing, actually. I think, you know, at that time, so we see it in verse 6, and in verse 6 it says, he lay awake at night thinking of God. I mean, you kind of imagine if I was in that situation, there are so many things you could lie awake thinking about. You know, you could think about your kingdom, you could think about the fact that your son's betrayed you, like how horrific is that? You could think about, you know, all these things, where you're going to go, where you're going to get fresh water from, how are you going to survive in this desert wilderness place? But actually what David does is he lies awake thinking of God and his goodness and how good he is. It says he is awake through the watches of the night. bit of a funny phrase. It's like, what's that mean? But actually, I looked it up, and it's the watches of the night. It's a military term. So it refers to the military watches of the night. So basically, saying he was awake through all the watches of the night basically means he was awake all night long. So he had time for his mind to wander onto all these other things. But actually, what he does is he clings to God, and he chooses to think on him instead, which is amazing. I've got a quote from this guy called Timothy Keller, who's a big theologian person. I don't know really know much about theologians, but Alex tells me he's a theologian. So it says, "Training our hearts to spend our sleepless nights in praise and fellowship with God will redeem our frustration, turning it into a cherished intimacy with the Saviour." I don't know about you, but recently I've had quite a lot of sleepless nights because of the ridiculous heat. And I probably haven't spent those nights thinking about God and dwelling on him. I've probably spent most of those nights getting really frustrated that I can't sleep and trying to make myself really cool by putting wet flannels on my forehead, which is not very effective. But it's a real challenge to me that actually maybe there's something that I could be doing that's better than lying awake getting frustrated and lying awake getting worried and concerned about tomorrow or anything else in life. But actually, I could be thinking and dwelling on the goodness of God. So we see the outcome of this in verse 1. So in verse 1, it says that David's whole body longs for him. So it's not just his spirit that was crying out for God and saying, "God, I'm hungry, I need you." But his whole body, his whole mind, body and spirit were crying out and saying, "God, actually, I need you." I think sometimes when we're in a dry place, we know we need God, but we don't acknowledge it for ourselves and we don't actually say, "Do you know what, God? Actually, I really need you." Because we see in verse 5, you know, David as king, he hosted many, many banquets. And he knows that when God promises something, he comes in and provides for him. And he sees this. In verse 5, it says that God satisfies him as with the richest of foods. So God comes and fills him. And yeah, we need water in the desert. Deserts are all about survival. We want water, and that's all we need. We've got to survive and get out and escape from the desert. People get so thirsty, they see mirages and see things that aren't really there to see the water. But God wants to give us more than that. Instead of just satisfying us with a bit of water to keep us going and help us survive, he says, "Actually, I'm going to satisfy you with the richest of food." And it kind of reminds me of a bit of a banquet. And I mean, David would have attended lots of banquets if he was the king. He wants us to prosper and he wants us to thrive. Whether we're in a desert, dry, weary, hard place or not. It reminds me of the song, you know, we sung it earlier and we sang, "Come Lord Jesus, come." And, you know, that's an expression of God. We want you to come. We're thirsty for you. But God's response to that is, "Of course I will come because I want to meet you and I want to be with you. And I am with you, even in the dry places," as David knows in the promises. Jesus invites us to this banquet. It's not through anything we do, but Jesus invites us to it, whether we're in a dry desert place or not. He says, "Come, because I want to satisfy you and nourish your souls and fill you with life and goodness." So what can our response be to this and this offer? Because God says, "Come on, my promise is that I will do it. Just come and ask and I will come." And our response can say, "Yeah, Jesus, please come. I'm going to come and meet you." And to fix our eyes on him. I think, you know, in life, busyness is a massive distraction for me. It really is. And I can fill my life with lots of things and get very busy. But it's a distraction. So when you kind of think about this and think about the scriptures that we've read and think about when we're all the most unbusy that we can be, probably that's when we go to bed at night. Just practically, none of us are busy when we're going to bed because we're going to bed. And like David, why don't we start thinking and longing and being encouraged and fed when we go to bed? Because it's simple, we can do that despite being busy. We're going through why don't, I mean, let's put down our novel, our books, our phones. That's a challenge for me, because at the moment I've got this game on my phone, which is like a crossword game. I've got really into it and I'm playing it all the time. But actually, probably better if I use my time to do something else, like think about God and spend time with him. So it's a challenge for me as well. One practical thing is we're going through Psalms at the moment. I've been using this book, which is a Timothy Keller book, which is where the quote's from, called My Rock and My Refuge. And it's kind of a page a day, and it's got a little bit from Psalms and a little devotional on it. It's quite useful. It's quite good kind of to read it just before you go to bed and have a think about God and think about what the Bible's saying about him in the verses. And it's helped me. But let's let thinking on God develop into a hunger and a longing for him, that we would know true satisfaction that comes from him, and then be able to share that with all the other people that we come into contact with. I'm just going to pray, if that's all right. Lord, I thank you that we sometimes are in desert places and feel dry and far away from you. Lord, thank you that even in those places you are right there with us, even when we feel that you are so far away and we don't understand what's going on, you are there with us. Lord, I pray you would help us to think on you and think on your goodness that is the same whatever we are going through, God. But you would help us to think on you and your goodness, and that would turn into a longing for you. And that longing for you would turn into a satisfaction in life that can only come from you. That you would fill us as with the richest of foods, and that we would be so full that we would invite so many others to the banquet that you have set before us. Amen.
As we look through the Psalms, we see the amount of emotions that are shared, the varying emotions shared, from joy to despair to praise to sorrow to anger at times. And it's really good, as we go through this series, for us to be having a bit of our own kind of emotional health check, for us to be thinking, actually, yeah, what the psalmist is saying here is really tying in with how I'm feeling at the moment. And if that is the case for you this morning, if you're feeling dry, if you're thirsting for God, or if you're dry and you know you should be thirsting for God, but you're not, then I really do encourage you to come down to the front in a few moments' time when we've finished our service, and we'll have some people down here who would love to pray with you. Maybe your motives and your heart isn't in the right place at the moment. Maybe your life isn't in the right place. But we don't have to sort ourselves out, but we help one another, and we ask God to help us wherever we're at, wherever we're feeling, asking him to come and nourish us and give us that spiritual food and drink that we all so badly need, even when we don't realize it. We're going to sing our final song now, which is As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You. So let's sing this as a response in our hearts. And even if when we're singing, we don't feel like it really connects with us, may we be praying that those words and that desire would be connecting with us throughout these days.